Blog Talk Radio.
You know our love was meant to be the kind of love that lasts forever, and I want you to be with me from tonight until the end of time. You should know everywhere I go, you're always on my mind. I know that it's plain to see we're so in love when we're together, and I know that I need you here with me from tonight until the end of time. You should know.
Joining me this evening, you are listening to the Saturday edition, as always, of Exposing the Illusion, brought to you by the Patriot Family Radio Network. And thank you again, all of you, so much for joining me. Tonight's show is an impromptu show, which means that I do not have any notes. I do not have anything written in front of me, and that everything that I will tell you is going to come from my heart, from my soul, and is strictly and basically my opinion as how I see things through the research I have done since 2006 until currently. So I would like to share what I am thinking, what I am feeling, those thoughts and emotions that I have within me. So this is probably a show that is unlike probably any other show that I have ever done on any of my 2 years on Blog Talk Radio. But just the same, you will get some information, you will get some insight, and you will get some entertainment for sure. I promise you that. I guess one of the first things that we really need to talk about here briefly is something that myself and Mr. Ron Golden have talked about previously, and that is time. If you look up time on the internet, or no matter where you go, you will find that there are approximately 20 different definitions. I don't know how they can come up with that many definitions, but there are a large number of definitions for the simple four-letter word time. But the time I would like to discuss is the time that we have, you and I, here on Earth, from the time that we are born until the time that we no longer have physical life on Earth. And maybe the best use of what that time really should be, and I'd like to take time and put it a little bit in perspective to, I guess, especially my research work that I have done since 2006. And what people talk about on radio shows, what people do with their time. I think there are a great number of people who take time for granted. I guess it may seem endless to them, and really has no meaning to many, many people. But I assure you, it does have a deep, deep meaning in the root of the foundation of who we are as human beings. I often go on to Blog Talk Radio and I bounce around on different shows, and once in a while I'll run into somebody I know. I ran into a doc, I don't know, about a week ago, and I go on to some different shows that are conservative political shows, which may shock some of you knowing how much I love politics. But everybody seems to want to talk about something good and getting information out there and sharing information with people is obviously a good thing. But I also think there's a point where we can become, at least I see it in myself, in doing radio shows, that we have a tendency to become repetitive in the knowledge that we are sharing with other people. And what is important to me, I have discovered recently here, I've known it all along, but as far as sharing it with other people, okay, my research work, and as the people, welcome Army Girl and several guests into the chat room. Many blessings to all of you. But, you know, having the time that I have, and as you get older, okay, and although I am not that old, and some of you may think of me as a youngster, but I don't really think so. I will be 57 on my next birthday in March of 2013. But it does, you know, make you look at time in a different perspective, and wanting to share what I feel, again, is truly important. And although I'm not going to go in depth to anything except my love for Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, and I cannot emphasize that of all the things, of all the tools and all the weapons and all the preparedness that we as human beings take the time to do in our lives, that I just feel so strongly that Jesus Christ is the greatest asset that I can have in my life regarding all of these issues. And it's in my heart, it's in my spirit, and as you can see tonight, it's in my mind, and I'm going to speak my thoughts regarding that, because of that. I did want to make one mention. Okay, that's enough comments about old people. I did want to make one comment, and I don't know if anybody was in last night's Mike show last night from 9 o'clock until 11, and I think he went into the archives for an hour until 12. I'm not sure exactly what it was they were going to talk about. I think it was the political parties, but somehow the subject got changed to 9/11. So I do want to make a brief mention on, you know, what is really important about 9/11 is not who or not how, but when. 9/11, September 11th, 2001. Okay? And if we look forward past that date, just slightly into the future, we come upon a very, very critical date, which is October 26th, 2011. And I believe 9/11 paved the way for October 26th, 2011. I believe it made our politicians able to justify what October 26th was, and that was the Patriot Act. It was I know it was not the original from scratch, because there had been some previous additions. I'm not sure if they were entitled the Patriot Act or not, but on October 26, 2001, it was entitled. Just 6 weeks after the Twin Towers fell, the Patriot Act gave way, which allowed mine and your government to really help to destroy much of what we call America in many ways through the laws that they had passed. So, you know, instead of making a long story longer, you know, and we could discuss 9/11 all night long, and tomorrow night and the next night. I think it's important, you know, these events that are happening around the world, even the presidency and the presidential election and the debates coming up. And I can assure you, you will not see me watching and wasting my time watching any presidential election. And if you have some background noise here, it is from outside, and okay, it just ended, so but I will apologize for that, because it may start up again. Anyway, the politicians that are out there running for president, in my opinion, are both of the same mindset. They are both being controlled by the same people, and for all intent and purpose, they have the same agenda, although it may seem different. It's aimed and pointed in the same direction. They just may be going about it a little bit different. So, you know, that is how I feel about that. I do want to take a short stop at the moment because we have several Patriot family members who are ill. Okay, and there's actually three or four of them, and I do not want to miss one accidentally due to my, my memory due to old age, but we do have several, at least one, possibly two that I know that are in the hospital, so we do. At this time, I would just ask that you keep everyone that loves Christ and even those that, may have some hope for them, that you say a prayer for them when you talk to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because I know that we have many good Christians in our chat room. I do have a caller on the line, and I don't recognize the telephone number, but I have an idea of who it is, but I'll just do it the proper way, and that way I won't have to make a mistake. Area code 910, you are live on the air. Who am I speaking with?
You're speaking with Mark, and I'm down in southeast North Carolina, close to Camp Lejeune. I was just listening in. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Would you like me to put you back on hold here so you can listen in?
Just put me on hold, and I'll raise my hand with the number one if I want to speak up.
Okay. Very good. Okay, that took care of that. I don't know if anyone has noticed. I guess it depends upon which part of the country that you live in, but fall is upon us, at least up here in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And if you get a chance, I do encourage you to go to the top of our page on Block Talk Radio next to the show description, and please enjoy the photos of the colors that I have put in there for you from our local area up here. And yes, indeed, Linda, I knew about Yola and Bill's dad and Chuck and Frank, and I'm not sure if there was someone else, but we pray for their health, Father, because we know that they love you and they want to do your work, and we ask that you watch over them, Lord, and hold them in your hands. And we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Since 2006, when I started doing research, like I said, I have came across many, many, many different topics that I have shared on Blog Talk Radio, and many of those topics you go on to Blog Talk Radio and you bounce around and you come across, you know, many of these topics. There are so, so many of them. I cannot even begin to, you know, well, I could begin to make a list, I guess, but it would be ongoing for some time. I mean, we could do a whole show on pharmaceuticals. We could probably do several shows on Agenda 21, several shows on the banking industries, several shows on foreign affairs, okay? But when it comes right down to it, I do believe that we are getting close to the end of all of this. I do not believe that this earth in its present state was meant to last forever. I mean, that's not to say that God may not come back and reclaim it and remake it into what he wants it to be. But in its current status, okay, I don't believe that it was made to last forever and ever. And the population is not going down. It is going up. Every single year, more people are born than die. Because that is happening, I believe that we are getting close to what many people would call the end times. And it seems to me that people that do have information to share, many of them spend an awful lot of time going into an awful lot of the fine print, when the fine print is really not what is important. What is important is your soul, the souls of other people that you can help come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And many people today are so caught up in themselves that they do not even want to listen to it. You cannot talk to them. But you can show them through your actions and through your caring and through your love. You can show them what a true Christian is and is supposed to be, okay? And maybe they will see something there that they like and will gain a further interest in it. I think since the 50s and 60s and probably before that, I'm not sure how much before that, probably more in the 60s and 70s, but I think even at that point there were more people that were already starting to fall away from Christ. And although I am not a religious type of person, because religion has actually, I'm not sure if this is the correct word, but I'll use it anyway, it's become, well, I guess in some parts it's become corrupt in itself, although many religions have made God's word into what they want it to be specifically for themselves and are teaching that doctrine, in other words, and are not really teaching the true word of God, okay? And you might ask, well, you know, how can you say that, you know, the King James Version of the Bible is the true word of God? People, you know, say to me sometimes, well, how do you know that that's really, you know, God's word? You know, how do you know? How can you be sure? You know, that after all, that was written by man. And I also have to remind them that the King James Version of the Bible is the most widely published book in history. There has been more copies of that book printed and distributed than any other book in the world. And I do not believe that God would allow his word to be presented to man in that amount and for it to be wrong. Plus, I have to remind people that I talk to that although, yes, the book was written down by man, it was inspired by God and through men, through that inspiration, through that spirit, it was written down. And how much of it has been lost in translation? People ask me that sometimes. And again, I have to say, I do not believe that God would allow the most widely published book in the world to be distributed falsely. After all, this is, even though Satan may be here now, ruling this earth, the kingdom is God's. And I do not believe that he would allow that to happen. I do have one of my favorite people here, although I have many favorites, on our telephone lines. And please welcome everyone, Mr. Ron Golden. Good evening, Ron.
How you doing, Michael?
I'm doing fine, sir. How about yourself?
Not too bad. I was hoping you were going to play some Mac Davis, Stop and Smell the Roses.
No.
That, I mean, no. that's really what we're talking about. You know, we do get so caught up in the weeds, so to speak, that we don't take time to actually live life and, you know, appreciate the beauty around us, just the incredible people that we come across, you know, and all things that God has created. And well, I think it's important not to lose sight of that.
You're absolutely correct, Ron. And, you know, I don't know how people can go outside of their door and look around at the marvels. If you look at right now, if you were in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan,
it's beautiful.
We're just about at our peak in color. Not quite, but we're almost there. And you look at it almost, and this happened within actually a good week, although, you know, I guess physically the trees may have started earlier due to cool evenings. But it's almost as if God waved a paintbrush across the landscape and, you know, put such beauty into it.
I agree. And, you know, we're fortunate here in Georgia to have some beautiful colors in the fall. And that's coming up. We're, I think my wife and her sister, wow, is that me that's got so much static? Are you hearing that on your end, or?
I've got a little background noise outside, but other than that, I'm pretty quiet here.
Yeah, I just, there's some real bad static. Kind of reminiscent of when Robert would call in on his cell phone.
That very well may be, after listening to it, I may be on your end, yeah.
Well, I might have to try and hang up and call back in. I'm called in on the Skype, but I'm just picking up some interference from something.
Yeah, Skype will do that.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, I think like we were talking last night, you know, you were mentioning the 9/11 thing, and again, they everybody got off into the weeds. And one of the arguments that's always brought up is, you know, you think your government could commit the mass murder of 3,000 people? Well, you know, government is comprised of human beings, and history's full of the lessons of how horrible and evil human beings can be, and what little value we place on life. And I think that's part of what you're talking about tonight. It's important that we embrace life and pay attention to it and recognize it for the tremendous gift that it is. And we get so hung up fighting all these battles, and it's a constant battle, that we forget to pay attention to the really important things.
Well, I said there's so many, you know, different, you know, topics, Ron. There's an endless, you know, I'd like to sit down one day and just write down all the different things that, you know, we are concerned about. You know, like I said, everything from Agenda 21, you know, to inflation, to pharmaceuticals, to the banking industry, to, you know, global economics. The list is very, very long, right?
It is. And, you know, one of the things that Glenn Beck had asked was, can man govern himself? And I think that question is actually putting the cart before the horse, so to speak. I think what we ought to be recognizing is that man is not able to govern society. We have a hard enough time governing our own life and trying to do what's right. Attempting to bring a collective group of people together and govern a larger collective, and I mean, it ends in failure and always has.
You can't even do it, you know, among small groups of people. You know, like I said, I live in a small town. It's about 7,000 people. Our main industry around here, open pit iron ore mining. And other than that, if you were to look around, I mean, we do have, you know, obviously other types of businesses, but not, you know, a great variety by any means. But we have, you know, tons of taverns, and we have tons of churches. There may be, I'm not sure, between 5 and 7, you know, just Lutheran churches alone, you know, and these groups of people cannot even get together and find the truth in God's word and be, you know, one group rather than having to build 7 buildings. I don't get it, Ron.
Yep. And, you know, it's when we get away from the basic principles, and I think when we look at the Bible, there's so many lessons to learn from reading your Bible. And I think the largest lesson in the whole book, taken as a whole, overall, we see that when man tries to govern himself, okay, as in the garden, he fails. But it is compounded and gets much worse when man tries to govern others, even when there's a written set of laws and rules by which to go by and a guideline which to use, they fail even more miserably. And we always descend into evil intent. It's our nature.
You know, exactly. And, you know, what you said there, I think, has a lot to do with, you know, mankind being, you know, not being able to, you know, rule themselves, obviously, and even small group people that have thinking of a like mind to be able to get together on the same page and focus and head for one direction. And I think it has Satan written all over it. I think he has injected himself so strongly, and we are at the point and at the population on this earth right now that I think he is having a field day. And again, this is why I say I don't think that we are, that far off from having, intervention from God, because, this thing is not getting, as we have discussed, Ron, any better at all. It keeps getting worse and worse. We keep coming up with more topics and more topics, and all that does is divide the people. And Satan is right there, in the middle of this, as you know, Ron.
Well, I don't think we've risen to the level of an Adolf Hitler or a Mussolini or a Stalin or a Pol Pot. There's been millions upon millions of souls that have been destroyed out of our own arrogance and ignorance. But, Live Truth in the chat room, made a good point. He said, I can't stand it when we as Christians say it's all in God's hands and we just sit back and do nothing. It is upon us. It is our job, our duty, one of our obligations. With the gift is to be a good steward of the gifts that we're given. And the fundamental and primary gift is life. And, Doc had said something about why so many churches fragment among Christians. The problem, as I see it, I guess, in my own opinion, is that we're never satisfied with governing our own life. We always see that we have governed our own life just fine. It's our neighbor that's always having a problem or an issue, and we determine that they need our guidance and assistance, and sometimes our guidance and assistance is not really wanted, but that's okay, because we're really just trying to help them, even if we're rude and insensitive in doing so. If we just focus on, Christ said that we should pull the beam from our own eye before we pick at the speck of dust in our neighbor's eye. I guess that's another way of saying, our neighbor's sins are always far worse than our own, and we can scarcely recognize our own. And that, to me, goes back to something I'd said before. If everyone in the world were just purely selfish, okay, and all we were concerned with is me, 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 I think the world would be a much better place.
Well, you may have a point there, and I just wanted to address quickly what you had said in regards to Live Truth Radio, and that I don't know if he was here when I was discussing it or not, but it's not that as a born again, Holy Spirit filled Christian, that I believe that we should do nothing and let it all be in God's hands. Like I said, I've been on Blog Talk Radio for 2 years, trying to educate people about what is going on, but it's gotten quite repetitious because it's the same things. And even though we may get one or two or three or four more people into the chat room, you can only pound something, for so long before it falls into, more people's. And the point that you made a great point with it, is that in our time here on earth, and, loving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we should maybe not focus so much on all these fine details, but rather the major points, and maybe we should spend a little more time helping other people through our actions, and through our words when we can, to get to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I think those things are far more important than the fine details of politics, Ron.
Oh, sure. You know, and again, I don't want to be misunderstood as far as the selfish part of it. It is, if you listen to many of the people out there, when it comes to, and I hate to do this to you, but when it comes to politics, what is the motive? What is the motivation that all of these progressive idiots give for, you know, high taxation? It's always to help someone who can't help themselves, and they feel like we should all be compelled to help one another, and the best way to achieve that is government. And so, you know, I think personally, if we'd all just be concerned with our own life instead of trying to run everyone else's life, and if we all practice charity from the heart rather than the wallet, especially if it's our neighbor's wallet rather than our own, then we would certainly be far better off.
Absolutely, Ron. And we do have another caller on the line, and I am positive I recognize this telephone number, so we're going to try this introduction, and boy, if I get this wrong, I'm really going to be in trouble.
I already know who that is.
She may be the best shot in California, and I'm sure she's better looking than you are, Ron. Please welcome Miss Linda Sells.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for taking my call. Hello, Ron. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
In the chat room. You know, you guys both touched on this, and Ron stated the Glenn Beck thing about man governing himself, and then you went into, you know, governing your neighbor because their speck is much worse than the beam in all these things. And if you look at trying to control the neighbor or community or a whole country, you know, whether it's done by an individual or by a corporation or by the people we have elected, you must ask yourself, as Milton Friedman did, where on earth are you going to find these angels among us to govern us? Nobody's perfect. And when you start throwing it into that progressive mix of redistribution and totalitarianism, we find ourselves in the mess we are in today. You know, this is what we're fighting. And not only are we fighting an Illuminati's ideology of feudalism, as Alex Jones puts it, we're fighting darkness, I think, and principalities. So I think you're both right stating that let's focus on what's important, focus on the Lord, start reading his word and getting the picture so we can correct our own beam in our own eye and then shine the light.
Well, you know, I do this often, you know, sometimes we lose sight of the meaning of words. We may
right.
not fully understand. We use them every day, but we don't totally comprehend their meaning. And so I just real quick looked up the word govern in Webster's dictionary. And it says to exercise continuous sovereign authority over. And in that respect, I would have to say that the answer to the question, can man govern himself, is emphatically no. Because we don't have sovereign authority over ourselves. I think B, the second definition at B, is what we currently have, and that is to rule without sovereign power and usually without having the authority to determine basic policy.
Well, there you go. Like I said, we've got to keep our eye on the biblical terms and the teaching, because that's your foundation. That's what we're supposed to live by. And we've gotten so far away. How far away are we from that?
Exactly. And, you know, I think there is a way, you know, that we can take, you know, God's mm-hmm. love, okay, and we can put that with the knowledge that we have of the evil of this world that is currently happening and destroying America and the world, that we can put God's love in one hand, we can put the evil in the other hand, and we can get them so that people can understand and see mm-hmm. a picture that God's love is what this is really all about, because it is what it's really all about. I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again, although it may be repetitive. It is the most worthwhile repetitive thing I will ever say on my shows, okay, is that this thing is between God and Satan, and we as the people are in the middle. Go ahead, Ron.
Well, and I think as Christians, we need to recognize the fact that Satan lost. I mean, that's just a foregone conclusion. Game, set, match, checkmate, however you want to put it. But if we honestly look at a lot of the things that have occurred throughout history, a lot of wars throughout history arose out of the ideology that we were going to get together as a group and go out and fight evil wherever we find it. You know, we were always looking for dragons to slay, so to speak. And again, that it still always comes back to the individual.
Right.
It all, you know, a collective is nothing but a group of individuals all deciding to carry out the same act. And most of them, you know, most of those adventures are undertaken with all the best of intentions at heart, or at least that's what we're told, and certainly what history would lead us to believe. But it develops and becomes something other, and it always ends badly. I think we just have to recognize that, you know, it's the individual level that we really need to focus on, and that individual relationship with Jesus Christ, with God.
I couldn't agree more. I think that's the focus where we have to go. But I do think that as an individual, as you say about duty and responsibility, that it's perfectly okay when you see bad things happening to go ahead and throw a whole lot of sunlight on it to expose it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think where we keep falling short, okay, one of the admonitions in the New Testament was to go out and spread the good news that
right.
the enmity between us and God, the separation that was the original transgression in the garden, is done. The debt's been paid.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no reason for us to go around trying to rule and lord over one another and force others into following our belief structure because we know we've got the right one, and place everyone under the law because,
right.
you know, after all, we know that that's what the law was for. But rather to go out and spread the good news, you've been freed. You're free.
Mm-hmm.
Your debt's been paid. Yes, sir.
I guess not specifically to you, but for everybody, but, you know, I do not look as the death of Jesus Christ, the shedding of his blood for the remission of my sins, as a law. We are given a choice here as we evolve as human beings, and as we grow up and grow older, we are given a choice as to which direction we would like to go. And I'll be the last one to say that I was a perfect teenager, okay? I caused a little trouble in my time. No doubt, many of you can probably say the same. I never did anything serious, but I had a choice to make. But it took possibly doing a little bit of that wrong to actually see how much better good is. And
certainly,
that I chose to follow. But in regards again to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that's not a commandment. It's not a law. It is a free choice given to us by God as to what we want to do, because He's not going to force anybody to do anything.
Right? Oh no, not at all. But I this is a very the very topic of choice and free will is something that really gets into the weeds of the politics of religion or the politics of Christianity, if you will. And, you know, if you go back to the Reformation, Martin Luther, the Lollards, the Calvinists, and we'd find credibility for the idea or the doctrine in the scripture, and that is that there is nothing that we do or can do without God. We cannot, of our own mind, decide, okay, I'm going to be a Christian today and I'm going to follow God and I'm just going to try and be a good guy and I'm going to repent and that's what I'm going to do, because that's just me. I decided I'm going to do that. If God does not put in us that measure of faith, then we could never reconcile with Him. And I think it's in Romans that Paul says that God has given to each of us a measure of faith.
Right. And what I think that God, through the Holy Spirit, does is He uses others around us to plant those seeds of, you know, scripture and coming to the Lord, etc. I know that was true in my case. So I know He does. That's how He, one of
certainly,
the ways He works.
Certainly.
Yeah,
He'll try to get your attention. And I have to look at it as you know, I the only way I can look at a relationship with God is as a parent-child relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I look at the similarities between myself being a parent and my own children. And there are things that you do, you drop hints, there are things that we do to try and get their attention and try to counsel them. And unfortunately, most of us have grown up under less than ideal circumstances in parenting because they didn't read the manual. I cannot tell you how many times I've heard the statement, well, there is no owner's manual on being a parent, but I disagree. There is one.
Right.
Some people would get upset and say, well, my God, you know, you're going to stone your child to death. That was the Old Testament manual. But they missed the purpose and the meaning of the stoning. The punishment was very severe. That was an incentive to teach and counsel your children not to do those things which would cause them death, whether it be a physical death or a spiritual death. Many times they're one and the same. It wasn't that, you know, the people wanted to go out and murder their children because they'd done something wrong. No. That's an extreme case. And I think Christ gave that example when they brought the woman before Him who was accused of adultery. That's the example, rather than, oh, okay, you're guilty, let's stone him. That's where the man thing, our mentality, our sin nature gets involved, and, well, that's what the law says, so you take him out the edge of town and stone him to death. You miss the entire point and the whole purpose, you know, when we respond that way. But I'm digressing. Sorry, I had to come home and take a hydrocodone. My back's been killing me, so
Yikes.
I'll get flabbing on here.
The Patriot family definitely needs some, there's a lot of people all over the world that need a lot of prayer for them, especially in this day and age with all the happenings, the destruction, the death, the corruption, all of it. And we need to, as I've already stated many times, and even as much as this gets repetitive, you know, we need to keep focused and we need to help other people not necessarily get to know all the fine details, okay? Sure, we can let them know that their children are being poisoned by chloritic acid that's put in the water, okay? Let them know that insider trading is done even by first-termers that go into Congress. 98% of the time, these people are taught how to do it and told that people get all the help they need and getting their money that they make offshore so it cannot be and does not have to be reported. You know, the details are unimportant. What's important is being able to get to people so that we can gain their interest. And many people do not have an interest in God. But if we can put something on with God, okay, like I said, like, you know, this water with this chloritic acid in it is poisoning your children, you know, their ears perk up a little bit. Or did you know that income tax is illegal? It is illegal for the government to tax your labor. They can tax other things, but many people don't know these simple facts. And if I think if we take some of those things that personally affect the people of the United States, as much as they have been dumbed down by Hollywood, by mainstream media, by pharmaceuticals, and the banking industry, many other areas, I think that we could start to take back some of these people through the right method of doing it. What do you think there, Linda?
I think you're correct. And when you talked earlier about leading by example, this is how I know that that's how Christ walked the earth, and he led by example. Huge. And people who saw that light in him and followed him, you know, that's why they wanted whatever he had. They wanted to be a part of that instead of, you know, constantly, you know, succumbing to their sin nature or to the words of Satan or, you know, their sin nature. They wanted to change, and that's how we can do the same thing, and I think that's part of our job. And I would much rather friend to my neighbors, especially because I know what's coming down the road, than be an enemy. You know, and I know that's self-centered, but we're born that way. I know we are for a reason. It's self-preservation.
This conversation takes me back a couple of years to something that someone told me in the chat room one night. I won't mention his name. He's not here in the group with us tonight. I have a tremendous amount of respect for him, but nonetheless, you know, I have advocated continuously that there's one way and one way only that we defeat this, and that is refusing to consent.
Right.
Okay. And what the conversation was is that, well, you know, that's easier said than done. I agree. It sure is. But the only thing that's keeping us from refusing to consent is our own clinging to this life, so to speak, and mm-hmm. the false sense of security that we've created for ourselves in our own little bubble world. We all have our own little reality. And I pointed out that, you know, Christ didn't consent. And his apostles didn't consent. And it was pointed out to me that, well, yeah, but they killed them. And I said, yep, they sure did.
Yep.
And that's about the worst that they can do to you, right, is kill you. We fear being free. We fear that wholeheartedly. And I think that fear comes from a lack of faith. Not that it's a total lack of faith, but it's just like Peter in the boat during the storm.
Right.
Walking out on the water and not believing that he was able to do that, and sinking. And Christ had to grab him and said, you know, if you only had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you'd be okay.
Yeah.
But you don't even have that.
And maybe we fear these things because of a progressive from time immemorial indoctrination to cling to certain things, to be afraid.
Sure. Well, we've been taught.
Conditioned.
And yes, absolutely. And I think if you look through history, I think history is a great indicator that we see all these times. You know, the Bible talks about a path being straight and narrow. And I believe that's true. And as, you know, as we begin to walk away from the path of God, then, society begins to lose its moral compass. And we stray further and further from the hard, harsh reality of the way the system, God's system, is designed. And at some point we get so far out in left field that we reach a point much like where we're at today. And
exactly.
It is so difficult, and the majority, they're not going to see it. They absolutely cannot see it, that cognitive dissonance, that, you know, allegory of the cave coming in.
Can't.
And it's not until it gets so terrible, so horrible, so absolutely chaotic, and it causes a lot of loss of life and famine and things. I mean, things have just got to get absolutely horrible.
Disgusting. Yeah.
Then suddenly people begin to see the light and start running back towards that path that was so much more secure. And they'll stay on that path for a brief time, and then they become convinced of their own superiority, and we start to drift off the path again. I really believe that, and I think history supports that.
True. And, you know, it brings to mind what you just said when we were talking about the founding of our nation, and, you know, these men knew that they were just creating something that was so far from the old feudal system that had never been really tried, and that you and I have never really experienced what they had envisioned. And they knew that it wasn't going to be perfect. There's no such they knew that there was not going to be a utopia. There's not going to be a Garden of Eden. You know, that wasn't their whole point. Their point was individual responsibility and freedom and God-given rights, not government. They knew that. I mean, let's look at that painting from George Washington kneeling in the snow at Valley Forge. You notice he's wearing a uniform. What do you think he was going to do when he got back up off the ground? He was going to go kick some derriere, and rightfully so. And I think they did it out of self-defense. That's my view of it. I could be wrong, but maybe they thought they were, because they were so oppressed and they were sick of it. That's kind of where we are. Like, all right, give me a horse.
Well, and in all honesty, comparatively, we're not terribly oppressed in this country. I mean, by comparison, it's all relative. But at the same time, you know, I don't live in China, and I'm sorry that the Chinese people have been oppressed for years. I'm sorry the Soviets were oppressed by the Bolsheviks. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry that many people were oppressed and murdered by the likes of Adolf Hitler. But I think it's the natural consequence of our own actions individually. And it starts with one person and another and another and another, all agreeing to do something they know in their heart just isn't right, doesn't square with what's right.
Right.
You know, I spent my whole life growing up, you know, probably, I say my whole life, but probably from the time that I was aware of, you know, the rest of the world outside of my family, you know, probably 9, 10, 11 years old. From that point forward, I always knew something was off. Something just didn't feel right. It just didn't fit, you know. Could never really put a finger on it, thought maybe there was something wrong with me. That, but this whole thing, that this whole system, it just, it's something's not right about it.
Mm-hmm. So when you talk about the oppression of the past, and we know how atrocious those things were, and many places today still have it. Now, my question is, why do we have to wait to get to that point? This is why I get so upset. Why can't we get it right before they completely bring the iron fist all the way down on us?
Well, I forget who it was that said it. It may have been Jefferson, but I don't believe it was, that mankind is likely to suffer tyranny and oppression as long as it is bearable. It's amazing what we will tolerate, what we will put up with. And I also find it interesting that we, at the same time, we will not tolerate anything even approaching that from our own loved ones, from our own family.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well, you can reach out and hit them. I can't get the
right
other one.
But we want, and in doing that, you know, we're practicing a form of government in our own house. And the correct form in trying to keep them out of that and not accept every willy-nilly thing that comes to mind. You know, your son decides he wants to start dressing like a woman. That's not acceptable. Thank God my son never had that phase and never will. he's perfectly happy having a wife who is of the opposite sex. But, I mean, I'm not trying to descend into, you know, gay bashing either, but things become acceptable and it's incremental.
Right.
In the boiling of the frog, so to speak.
Exactly. So then how come people, well, not save for the fact that we try to educate ourselves, there are many of us who don't want to tolerate it beyond this point because we can't get it. Does that make sense? Did I get lost?
No, you're still on. Well,
oh,
you know,
somebody's trying to
right
call me.
And I think, again, I go back to the biblical example. I think that many people, I think everyone in the United States of America that considers themselves a conservative in any way, shape, or form are much like the Jews in Jerusalem awaiting the coming of the Messiah.
Yep.
They saw the only oppression they could see was the Romans. They didn't see that they were oppressing themselves. And they were waiting on that Messiah to show up and save them and slay their enemies. And when he didn't, then they didn't believe in him. Now, don't get me wrong. I am not trying to draw a comparison of Ron Paul to Jesus Christ. He can't even approach that level. But we did have a man running for president that if we were ever to have a hope that we might be able to, from within the system, fix what's broken,
that
and
was
we
gone.
Rejected him. As a whole, as a society, we rejected him. And so it's not going to be until, you know, the final battle, the Armageddon, is right at our doorstep that many of us decide, wow, it's time for me to take a stand because your back's against the wall and you don't really have a choice.
Yeah,
when death is the only way out, well, then, you know, Katie, bar the doors, because, you know, there's nothing holding you back.
Oh, I know, but darn it, why do we have to wait till it gets that bad? I just don't understand.
I think that's human nature.
Yeah. Oh, well.
I really believe that's just human nature. You know, look at the speech Patrick Henry gave.
That was hard.
You know, even the founders, my goodness, here they are. And even the founders, they're making excuses of, well, maybe we could try this, or maybe we could do that, or, you know, maybe if we just phrase it differently. And he's like, what are you guys smoking? What I mean, do you not see all these military troops and all these armaments, all these weapons? Do you not recognize that those are meant for us, whether we capitulate or not?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't you get it? You know?
I guess,
we do it for ourselves.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think that it's just for those of us who see what's going on and we feel, like you say, that intuitiveness of, hey, something's not right. I think we do have a responsibility to warn other people and try to educate them. I mean, whether they're going to listen or not, but, you know, you never know which door you knock on is going to be the one that says, hey, she might be right. She might be onto something, or this guy might be on. You know what I mean? So you just got to keep going.
And I've got a challenge for everybody listening. Pick up your Bible tonight, tomorrow,
okay.
And I want you to go, you know, we've all done research, massive amounts of research on, you know, just about every topic you could imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Read copious amounts of history books. Can you imagine, just for a minute, if we had all put that same effort into understanding our Bible as well as we understand the
wow.
road to serfdom, or, you know, George Washington, or the monetary system, or anything else, if we put that much effort into really delving into the Word. And my challenge is this. I want you to read through the Old Testament of all the battles that the Israelites fought, and I want you to look for only the battles that they lost. So we're going to just narrow it down. We're only going to look for the battles that the Israelites lost. And I want you to take a look at why you think they lost those battles. What makes the battles that they lost different from all the mm-hmm. ones that they won, where God intervened and delivered the enemies into their hands? See if you can figure out what the difference is.
Okay.
That's a lot of reading, by the way.
That's a large book, the Old Testament.
And there were several battles that the Israelites fought, and there were only but a few that they lost. But there was something distinctly different when they lost those battles. And it's a pretty cool lesson when you read it from that standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
When you're not looking for a message, so to speak,
right,
for something personal, or you're not trying to apply it to your own life or times today, but when you just read it from a historical aspect and looking at it as, well, gee, they lost to the Babylonians here, and we know what happened, you know, leading up to that, and they lost to these guys over here, the Assyrians. And we know what happened. So just figure out what was different. And a lot of people will tell you that it was disobedience to God. But I'm going to tell you that they've never been obedient to God. Not from the garden until this very day has man ever been obedient to God. So it's something other than just pure disobedience or not mm-hmm. following the law exactly. So I'm just interested, you know, if you guys do that and see what you come up with. And
cool.
Maybe we'll have a show where we can talk about it and compare notes.
Awesome.
What do you think, Michael?
Is Michael still there? Where'd he go? He's taking a break.
Here, I'm just discussing the topic that we are on with my expert, who happens to be my wife. She actually is, years ago, she taught Bible studies. So I was get the answer to Ron's question, but I got called back here, so... But I do. That is interesting, and I don't know the answer. And
well, I want to put one more caveat on this. So we're going to narrow the scope even more. Okay, we're only looking for battles that the Israelites initiated. They went out and started it.
Okay.
Not one where the Babylonians came and attacked them, because they hadn't kept the Sabbath for 7 years, and God said, okay. But only the ones where the Israelites initiated the confrontation and they lost.
Okay. I'll look them up.
Did you not give the answer away right there, Ron? Because if the Israelites started these things, then they were going against God's word right there. And since they decided to do this on their own and not use the faith of God and put their trust in Him, that He did not intervene because they decided to rely on themselves.
You're exactly right, Michael. That is it in a nutshell. Rather than depending on God, they struck out on their own to conquer more territory or to get more booty or to bring others into the religious fold, so to speak, into the flock, rather than being content with what was provided. You're absolutely 100% correct.
Well, you know, I don't pride myself really in being right, but, you know, I did happen to catch when you said it was the ones that, you know, they had started. And
mm-hmm.
You know, I'll tell you what, we have 45 minutes left, and you are welcome to stay there. I will leave your mic open, but, you know, I have to play a song in the middle of my show, and we are well past it, so please bear with me for several minutes while I play this tune, and we'll be back. I hope that you will remain with me, Linda and Ron, and this group used to tour back in the early 1970s with Bob Seger, Silver Bullet Band. They were the backup band for Bob Seger. If anybody is thinking here real hard, the name of the song is called, and it's the opposite of what you would get down in hell, okay, where it is obviously very hot, but this is called A Cool Change, and it is by the Little River Band. We'll be right back.
If there's one thing in my life that's missing, it's the time that I spend alone. Sailing on the cool and bright clear water. Lots of those friendly people, they're showing me ways to go. But I never want to lose their inspiration. Time for that it's time for a cool change. And now that my life is so prearranged, I know that it's time for a cool change. Well, I was born in the sign of water, and it's there that I feel my best. The albatross and the whales, they are my brothers. have a special feeling when you're out on the sea alone, staring at the full moon like a lover.
That was the Little River Band with a Cool Change. And continuing on from several minutes before I played that song, we had been talking about the Battle of the Israelites and some of the differences between, what it was, the difference between the ones they lost and the ones they won. And as I played that song, the smarter one in my family here, my wife, just to interrupt that for a second, there's two very important rules, okay? The first one is always listen to your wife. And if you don't follow that, then rule number two is always go back to rule number one. And here's what she told me, okay? She said that there is a time when Christians should initiate battle, okay? But you must ensure through the Holy Spirit that that battle is doing God's work and not mankind's work.
I'll say an amen to that.
I think Linda took a break here.
She did. She had to get the other call. Someone was pestering her. You know, I was just kind of reminiscing and catching up a little bit with my brother Dean, who came in the chat when you were playing the song. And, you know, I'm not trying to have a pity party or make it all about me. But it just seems that recently I have found that my free time has dwindled tremendously. Just have very little, you know. I got moved to a job further away from home, so I spend more time on the road. And when I do get home, there's other things that need my attention. And boy, I really miss just being able to sit down and read my Bible and turn some tunes on and just melt away for an hour or two.
Yeah, you know, and your parents, I'm sure that they need your support. They need your knowledge, Ron, all of that. And I'm sure that is, you know, time-consuming, but yet in a very, very good way, you know?
Well, it is, and you know, it's also humbling in some respects, because beginning to see a bit of role reversal there, and not terribly comfortable with that all the time. Sometimes it's very good, and other times it's very trying, but you know, all we can do is love one another and try to keep our eye focused on what should be, where it should be, and say we're sorry when we fall short. And that's pretty much every day.
I would say so. You know, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. There are many people out there, and it's why I have to rely on, you know, my fulfillment of the Holy Spirit within me, because I'm not going to go into my medical problems, but because my memory being so bad, I live my life and I do God's work through the Spirit, you know, and the morals and values that I have learned, you know, throughout my life, you know, that He leads me to do what it is, you know, as far as His work goes.
Well, you know, I try to take every day one day at a time, and, you know, of course, there are days when I get really hacked about what's going on in the world and I just can't hold my tongue. But I just try to take it as it comes, and I still try to listen for those hints and clues for direction every day. And I honestly and earnestly try not to have my own agenda, so to speak.
Well, you know, you have a real trying job there, Ron, for sure. I'm not going to say what that is. You're welcome to if you like, but I know what you do for a living. It is dealing with people directly. It is also dealing directly with, you know, a commodity and the monetary system, both of which people need and, you know, are very concerned about. And it's like you can, you know, please, you know, most of the people, you know, most
some
of the
time,
people
some of the time, but yeah.
Exactly, but, you know, not all of the people all of the time. So I am sure that during your job, you know, it is a great opportunity for you to put the armor of God on and let God speak through you to these people, without, you know, having to go against whatever regulations your work has or whatever, but by your actions, not so much by your words.
Well, you know, one of the things with the job that I do, and I'm a service manager at a Goodyear, a repair facility, and I was a technician before, and it took me a while to recognize that, you know, a good friend of mine actually helped me realize that no matter what your job is, no matter how much you get paid or don't get paid, we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that what you're doing in your job is serving other people. You know, people come to every business on the planet because they have a need and they want that need fulfilled. And so you're providing a service, you're serving them. And I think it's helped me deal with some of the people that I otherwise would not deal well with, people that I completely and wholeheartedly disagree with their philosophy or their ideology, because you run across every ideology you could imagine in retail business where you're dealing with people every day. And you have to never lose focus on the fact that you're there to serve them, regardless of what your personal opinion of, you know, they pull in with an Obama sticker on the back of their car, and you don't even want to talk to them. And, of course, the repair industry has a horrible reputation because there are those people out there that aren't looking to serve someone, they're looking to steal from them and just get as much as they can from them. And it's unfortunate, you know.
It's in many, many, as you will agree, Ron, many industries.
Sure.
Even outside of the automotive repair business. Just a quick story. I remember one time, in 2006, I spent a little over a year living in southwest Florida, near Naples. And the prescription that I had been taking, and which I am still taking to this day, was costing me at that time, it was costing me $7 per month for the entire prescription for a 30-day supply. And I walked into this store because I had moved to a different state, and I did go to a different doctor, and I told him, I says, I really don't care where you know, send a prescription to. Well, he sent it to a Walgreens store, and I went to pick it up, and when they gave me the bill, Ron, it was $150 for the exact same prescription that I was paying for in Michigan a month earlier, for $7, and I lost it. I'm sorry. You know, and it's sad. You know, it's like I should not have acted that way, but I walked out of that store from the back of the store all the way to the exit, and I was screaming. I mean, it was like, this place is a ripoff. I mean, I wouldn't buy, you know, a dirty pair of underwear. I said everything underneath the sun. I didn't swear. I didn't take the Lord's name in vain, but yet I was, you know, quite rude. And, you know, it's those things, you know, whether it's in your job or whether it's in a person's, you know, personal life, you know, unless we're locked up inside of a room where we have no interaction with other people, anytime that there is an interaction with another people, we may run into that problem, and we always have to remember, like I said, to have God's armor on and to act accordingly, because otherwise we are not doing the will of God, Ron.
Well, I believe that wholeheartedly, and you know, I've been in this business my whole life, and I see things, and you know, I recognize things now that I've seen more people struggling than I've ever seen in all the time that I've been in this business. And, you know, these people are driving very nice automobiles, much nicer, many of them, than what I'm driving. And everyone is very cost conscious. And many times they'll call me after I give them an estimate to repair their car, and you know, they'll call up and say, well, I can buy that part at AutoZone for $25 and you're going to charge me, you know, $98 for the same part. And I used to get angry with those people, or you know, give them a smart aleck response. And yeah, I just simply explain to them, you know, there are certain guidelines they have to follow. And unfortunately, it costs so much to run a business these days. My overhead is so high that, you know, I have to charge a specific margin. If I don't, we go out of business. It's just that simple. It's not simply that I just want to take you for as much as I can. You know, that has nothing to do with it. It's really just a mathematical formula, and there's nothing more to it than that. It's unfortunate. Well, okay. And it used to stress me out, but it doesn't stress me out anymore. And I just try to explain it to people.
Yeah, what really gets me upset is when you see, you know, a difference in prices, and, you know, you see whether it's a national or a local chain of stores that you know is purchasing in, you know, huge bulk and getting a lower price than a single store. And
that's not actually applicable anymore in most cases. I mean, depending on what it is you're talking about buying, of course. But there's a thing that's been around now for a little while. And just about every business I know of practices what's called JIT. And JIT stands for just in time. It's a way of inventory control, so that you keep on hand only the bare minimum that you absolutely have to carry on your books, because inventory costs you money every month. And I see it in parts houses, you know, the warehouse. I used to be able to call my local parts supplier, and it was very rare that they didn't have a part in stock for a car that was less than, you know, 15 years old. Now nobody stocks it unless it's, you know, fits into a very narrow category. Oh, they could get it from their warehouse in Alabama or in Atlanta, but they don't stock it at the local store. Everybody is trimming pennies wherever they can, which is one of the reasons why I know. I mean, obviously we've gone way far afield of what we were talking about earlier, but it's all relative. It all comes back. But I know that from following the markets and everything else that we're on very borrowed time economically. And just another nail in the coffin, so to speak, of the current status quo. And I know a lot of people out there are worried and anxious over the coming election. But I got to tell you, I think in all honesty, it doesn't matter who becomes selected as the new anointed one. The writing's on the wall, and it's going to happen one way or another. I think the best thing we can all do is, again, focus on God. Keep Him as our goal, our light. Let Him guide our steps. And do what we're supposed to do.
That's it, Ron. And, you know, this was and is, you know, my whole point to this show tonight was to try and, you know, although I'm sure, you know, I am preaching to the choir here, but to let any new people that joined us, let them know that it's not always, and it's not about the fine print, okay? You need to take and make the best use of your time. You need to take what is important, okay? And if you don't understand through history or by going outside and looking out your door and seeing that little bird out there that's living all winter long that God has taken care of, and that for some reason you don't believe in God, you need to figure out what it is that's important and make the best possible use of time. But yet, I will continue to incorporate my love for Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior into everything that I teach, regarding the New World Order, Satan, all of it. But I will not, I refuse to go into the details of it. I'm not going to have a two-hour-long discussion about any given, topic that we are having a problem of, because I don't think that that is what it is really about. I don't think that's important. I think it's important that we help other people get to know Jesus Christ, that we inform them about what is currently going on and why it is going on, okay? And what they can do to help, make their life better and, their loved ones' lives better as well, Ron.
Absolutely. I just typed in the chat room to we need to prioritize, and I think we lose sight of that. And if we focus on God and keeping ourselves in that personal relationship and then focus on governing our own family, I think if everyone did that, the rest would take care of itself. We wouldn't need to, and we shouldn't be worried about what our neighbors are doing or not doing, unless they're out there praying to Satan or doing something crazy and, stocking up arms and getting ready to come shoot you or something stupid.
Go ahead, Ron.
Well, if they're wrapping themselves in a turban, taking the last rites of the jihadist, then you might want to pay attention to what your neighbors are doing. But
you have a great point there. If we would just take care of, a few simple priorities in our life, this would probably have a lot more, but. Obviously, and I know, at least I believe that you and I, may have a slight difference of opinion on this. But yet, even as I speak about, doing that, and that it may, our lives, everyone's lives would be better for a lot longer time, and this and that. And yet, I have to look at my King James Bible and the New Testament. And revelation, God's inspired word is saying to mankind about our future. And, it seems to me that he knows because of, Satan being in our presence, he knows that this, where this was all headed. And this is not like a one world order has been the first time this has ever been attempted. I mean, it's been attempted many times, and I'd really be interested in knowing, but yet I may not have the patience to go through my entire Bible and count the number of times that a one world order, has been attempted by mankind. But you and I both know, Ron, that it will not succeed. There are just too many differences between man. Even if it comes close to it, it would only be of, what I call a surface appearance of either a one-world monetary system, one-world system. There are just too many differences between people. When you can't even get five Lutheran churches together in one small town of seven people, how are you going to get the world to have a one-world order? God knows this. He is a very smart, intelligent, and loving God. And God, I have to say, God loves all of us, and he always will, Ron.
Well, I agree, and I think that goes back to what we were talking about at the top of the show, The trouble starts when man begins to think that he can be God, that he can govern the world, he can be the sovereign authority. And, you know, you're right. It's man's been trying that for a very long time. They've got some pretty nifty tools now to try to force the issue. But, you know, when it's done through force, it doesn't work.
Absolutely. There's no way that, you know, it will. And,
you know, I think that's the most amazing thing to me when you look at it. It's just, it's ironic, actually, that the only thing, the ultimate threat that man can make against another man is to end their life. And if you're a Christian and you're saved, it's not much of a threat. I mean, honestly, if you think about it, how's that a threat?
It's not, Ron, at all. At least not to me, it's not. I mean, you know, and I know you have no fear of that yourself, and many of the Patriot family and the Truth Net Radio program, you know, Army Girl and Doc and all of these great people out there, you know, do not have a fear of that because, you know, it's like what Army Girl said previously in the chat room is, you know, fear not what they can do, you know, to your body because they cannot take your soul. And I hope I said that right, Choco Girl.
Absolutely. Well, Michael, I'm going to jump off of here before I pass out.
I appreciate your telephone call very, very much, Ron, and it's always a pleasure talking with you, and you have yourself a great weekend, and say hello to your mom and dad for me and give them a big hug and tell them you love them, okay?
Absolutely, and I plan on having a good weekend. I think tomorrow I'm going to venture down to Atlanta. They're having a huge gun show. So I know I'll be pretty safe and meandering around, and I've got my eye on a new rifle that I want. So God bless you. Thanks for doing the show, Michael, and thanks for letting me tune in.
You're very welcome, sir. You're welcome anytime. Take care, and God bless. And I would, because I was out of the room for a couple minutes, I would also like to take this time to thank Miss Linda Sills from California, and the comments that she added are always a big help in inspiring myself and I'm sure many other people in just helping other people in many different ways. And I hope that all of us understand that tonight's program, again, you know, is about, you know, and I'm probably repeating myself, but it is about what is important. We have a limited amount of time on this earth, okay? And, you know, I said what I did to Ron about his parents. I know his parents recently moved in with him, and that he is helping to take care of them. I do believe in one way, shape, or form. But my father passed away 2 years ago at age 93, and my wife and I, and I guess I should add mostly my wife, because of her background as a private duty aide, anyway, we took care of my father before he passed away. And he actually did pass away in his bedroom at home as I was reading the King James Bible to him. I was reading out of John, and I had read 9 chapters and looked up, and he had expired at that point. which was a blessing to me because of, you know, the illnesses that he had and his age. So, you know, it would have been really nice at that point to, you know, a week or so above him, you know. I don't know that I ever went up, you know, even several days or a week before he died and told him, you know, Dad, you know, I love you, you know, and give him a great big hug. And I think that's an important part of showing who we are as Christians is, you know, not being afraid, you know, to do that. And we need to let people, you know, know and understand that. I can tell you right now, I have a friend that I met where I currently moved to, and he's a male friend, and I assure you that I am not gay, and I'm not even going to go there because I'm just going to say, you know, I don't like it, I don't think it's right, and I'm going to end that before I irritate anybody. But he's leaving. I've known him for several months here, and he is a Christian, and he does know much of the stuff that we talk about. But I can assure you that when he hooks up his fifth wheel and he goes down to Corpus Christi, Texas, for the next 6 months or year, I don't know how long it's going to be, I can assure you that I will give him a hug. And it is through the love of Christ that I do that in showing him, you know, how important it is to show and give God's love to everyone that you can that is out there. So I just want to add that. The words are very important. My wife, again, my wife is a beautiful woman. She is very, very knowledgeable about things. And she was actually, you know, although I knew that, you know, women were, you know, obviously different than men, but, you know, this is, and it's the truth, and I never lay after the truth. My current wife, Sandra, is my third marriage, and it will be my last marriage because I have finally figured out what, you know, the right things are. And it was her that, you know, informed me that, you know, you need to tell me, you know, I love you. You need to come up and, you know, give me a little neck rub. You need to show me and tell me how much, you know, you care about me. And it doesn't matter if it's a man or if it's a woman. Of course, you probably don't want to go up to a man and say, I love you, although you could. I don't think that it would really be out of place. It would depend on the circumstance. But yet, being able to share, you know, God's word and God's love, you know, through our feelings, you know, through the Spirit of God that we have within us is, you know, very, very important. I want to take 1 second here, and I am going to do two things at once, so just bear with me for a second, or I'll sing to you. No, what I really want to do, that's the entertainment part of our show. What I want to do is I want to drop a link into the chat room for a show. I used to be a host on this show. It's called Truth Net Radio. And Army Girl, who is in our chat room tonight, and her husband Doc are members over there. And Army Girl has a great, great show. She is very knowledgeable, and she has a great co-host. And I believe it's a Wednesday show. if memory serves me right. But if you go to truthradio.net, you will be able to find that show over there. And I encourage you sincerely to go over and spend some time with Army Girl for Christ, because you will truly feel inspired. And again, it looks like we have about 5 minutes left, and I have a song queued up here I'm not going to mention the group, but if you'd like to stay and listen to this song, you're very welcome to. And I think this applies to many people who are out there preaching. You're very, very welcome, Army Girl, and love you and love Doc. I think this applies to many, many people out there that are reaching and searching for something, but they really don't know what it is. So let's help them to know what it is that they are searching for. And I believe what they're searching for is love. They want to know what love is. And everyone, God bless.
Take a little time, a little time to think things over. I better read between the lines in case I need.